From LA to Lincoln and via sirenonline.co.uk to the world, it's time for the Midweek Drive to connect with investigative filmmaker and planetary truth seeker, the one, the only, Phil Leonis!
Yay! So, Phil Leonis, welcome to the second Midweek Drive of 2015. How's it hanging in Los Angeles, my man?
Thank you so much for playing me on with the theme from Frozen. You must know in some way that that holds special significance for me, as I saw my 8-year-old goddaughter this past holiday season performing in a stage production of Frozen at her elementary school, which, tears me apart, the critical parts of me, because on the one hand, it was almost too cute to bear. On the other hand, it was the death of theater as we know it. So, anyway, that's my way of saying I'm excellent. How are you, Alex?
I'm very good, actually. Post DigiCon 2015. I don't know if you've accessed some of our other stuff. You can actually listen to our full report of that or wait until Parsec is produced. But lots of exciting things from that perspective, which we've been sharing today. We'll also be sharing on tomorrow morning show Ed's adventures with myself at the London Boat Show, which is, again, also online if you want to sort of go and listen to the 4D experience, but heaps of other things happening as well. Steve Court has been with us. What bits of the show have you managed to chase up for your good self, Phil, given that you obviously, when you're not busily doing post-production on The Lady Killers, yes, the time of release is approaching ever closer to Chilpack Hollywood's fantastic weekly Chilpack Hollywood Hour podcast. Your Chilpack Hollywood. That would be an interesting one. One for the sort of Spanish listener. Your Chilpack Hollywood Hour. What bits of the program have you managed to connect with, Phil Leonis?
Well, I'm at a loss because I wasn't expecting the question, what parts of the show have I caught, to take 5 minutes for you to ask.
Exactly.
I can't let go of the cosplay for a moment, because of course I scoured the photos hoping that at the very least at the London Boat Show you would be in costume. But because I have some ideas in this regard. I mean, I know you gravitate towards James Tiberius Kirk, or as he's known in the second pilot, Where No Man Has Gone Before, James R. Kirk.
Mm-hmm.
I've done a little bit of cosplay in my life. When I was a younger man, I actually gravitated in the early 90s towards John Constantine from Hellblazer.
Mm.
I've always known that when I turned 50, never mind cosplay, just in waking life, walking around in the world, surrounded by my bodyguards, of course, as I usually am, I would just give myself over to steampunk. And then at 60, I plan on giving myself over to wizard wear on a full-time basis. You, however, Alex, I certainly would have expected, would have gravitated to something portrayed by Jim Broadbent.
Yeah.
What could be better than going as Jim Broadbent in Cloud Atlas, because it would give you the opportunity to change costumes 12 times in one afternoon,
yeah,
because that's how many roles he played. That's my idea.
I will never say never, but it's unlikely, unless, of course, you'd like to take on terms as my agent and ensure that we get at least a six-figure sum, in which case it's a possibility. That's all I'll say. You know, I don't want to sort of disillusion people. But, I mean, there's a shot I've just actually pulled up there from the London Boat Show, where we actually have a two-shot with myself and Mike Enser, and indeed our thermal images at the background there that we're also sort of seeing from that point of view, which Steve is casting his creative eye over from that point of view. So, interesting line. Anyway,
yeah, I must say that I enjoyed the report filed from the Gabby Cabby more than I ever have before. I thought it was very thoughtful. He made very good points, and I could tell, even though we can never hear you sweating, Alex, I could tell you were actually really concerned you might not reach him, and therefore had to pick the David Soul song to give yourself time to do it, because, boy, that David Soul selection, what it lacked in being good, it more than made up for in being the longest song ever recorded.
Or indeed, as one friend of the station might say,
"Hi, I'm Jim Broadbent, you're listening to Siren Radio, 107.3 FM.
That is outstanding. outstanding. Hey, you know, speaking back to the Gabby Caddy, you know, this idea of gluten intolerance, boy, this is the hippest thing, is to be gluten intolerant. I myself am quite the opposite. I'm not only gluten tolerant, I am so tolerant of gluten that I let gluten walk all over me. Gluten just abuses me. On the other hand, you don't maintain at 46 years of age the baby smooth skin that I do without sleeping face down in a pan of gluten each and every night.
And there's the message, quite clearly. Steve, as you said when we looked at the whole thing, apart from Phil and Cameron, everybody else was new to you today in terms of co-presenters and packages from that point of view. Mm-hmm. So would you, given that we're just about to obviously publish this book, did you still want me to take the challenge of reading the Acorn from that point of view? It's a very short little number, which is curiously put together as Paranoid Android. Why am I not the droid you are looking for? What does he have I don't? Is it that I look like Henry Hoover? Or communicate in beeps? Is it because I can't play Angry Birds, connect to Facebook or tweet? Or is it just the cord? Because seriously, I could change the beep. I'll learn to talk or sing or squeak. I could be the droid you're looking for. Just give me time. What's that? Intergalactic crime? You'll melt them down to make Darth Vader's kettle. No, not me. Not the droid you're looking for. I'm just a lump of metal. Beep, 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 beep. A bit of the specials coming in as well with a message to you, Rudy. It's just unintentional, but there we are. Did that sort of do you... I mean, I know, in a sense, you are the master of performance poetry, but was that... I mean, given that I hadn't seen it before tonight, was it okay, Steve?
Fantastic. What do you, fantastic.
What do you think, Director Leonis?
Oh, I thought it was terrific. Is that one of Steve's?
Of course it's one of Steve's. All the poetry we've read out this evening is one of Steve's.
Okay, well, I mean, come on. If you were to write a poem, Alex, it would also no doubt reference either Star Trek or Star Wars, so that's just why I had to check. But it's fantastic. In fact, the only thing better that I've heard on the whole show was when Steve responded to you explaining who one of the cosplay figures were with a simple, "More words I don't understand." I'm using that in so many meetings from this day forward. I can't begin to tell you. When people ask me what I think of what they've just presented, I'm going to say, "More words I just don't understand."
Well, Black Canary.
Another terrific contribution from Steve on this show. And it's been so nice to hear Steve again and Alex to have you be able to enjoy a co-presenter, although that sounds a little bit creepy, what I just said.
Precisely so. Anyway, we shall work with it. It's always a pleasure when we have that additional sort of chemistry in the whole production, which is great stuff. Although I gather that Emma Tinson will be back next week, and who knows, maybe even Jessica Ward as well, and maybe even Sophie Grayson. Don't know. Although I do believe that they're all eagerly awaiting the Phil Leonis customised jingle, at least certainly in the case of Emma Tinson and Jessica Ward. It could be a possible deal cruncher from that point of view. Moving onwards, Steve, any questions or lines you'd like to put to... In fact, is the last time you worked with Phil Leonis when we effectively did the Myathon, or was that...
Nothing, we've had one since then.
One since then.
Well, it's exciting. I mean, to be fair, I was saying to Alex before, it's been such a long time since I was on the show, but yet it's been so busy it felt like it's just disappeared. To hear that we're nearly at release time, that seems to have just...
The Lady Killers.
Dissolved in front of us.
Post-production.
So where are you at the moment with that film? Are you at sweaty stations yet, or is it going well?
It is me who has dissolved completely before your very eyes. Here's how long it's been making this movie, actually. There are so many phases in making a movie that, you know, one can go back to the original writing, which took place more than 15 years ago, doing a new draft when development money came in some 2.5 years ago. So there's so many ways to measure this. But what was stunning to me was to learn that our lead actor, whose first child was born 3 hours before principal photography began on this, that was his first child. His second child is going to be born probably on the day we premiere this the second week of February.
Yes, but Phil, remember Boyhood. That took place over a whole lifetime. So, you know, it's all part and parcel of the rich tapestry.
Okay, sure.
How do you feel, though, Phil, now you're getting towards the end? Does it feel like a positive end, or do you feel like you're going to miss it when you don't have to work on it anymore?
Oh no! I mean, I'm starting to gear up for other creative challenges. However, even as the end approaches, there is so much work to do around it. Not just finishing the movie itself, but finishing all manner of deliverable materials, as we call it, and promotional materials for the film. In fact, I'm working diligently on a feature-length documentary about the making of this feature film that no one has seen yet. So there's much to do, but no, I'm always looking forward to what's on the next the next creative hurdle, and hopefully some announcements will be made soon in that regard. Of course. Still continuing to do the weekly Chill Pack Hollywood Hour, although...
Number 400.
Our audience, unlike your audience, Alex, has yet to actually learn that Dean will be moving to Sydney, Australia, mm-hmm. and that some changes are afoot for the show, not the least of which is we're going to be producing a spin-off podcast from Chill Pack Hollywood Hour.
That's almost as exciting as us doing our monthly On Your Bike or indeed Sound Nick's Vision programs. It's amazing. Astounding. Truth Detectives, Dean Hagland, Phil Learness, battling back the forces of darkness each and every Monday. 9 p.m, 8 a.m. Central, or whatever they usually say. They usually say that, don't they? So they say 10 p.m, 6 p.m. Central, or some such stuff. I find it very confusing.
Yeah.
What about Pacific Coast? Do they not have any sort? Do they not say PST as opposed to Central? What is it about Central? Is it for the Utah listener? Never mind. We love you if you are in Utah, by the way. But we love every listener wherever they happen to be, even if you're listening on podcast. Steve, I feel we should actually have a concluding poem because, unlike other stations, you know, what have they provided you with the opportunity to do 2 hours of you know, regular, constant driving home? This is the book you must purchase as soon as it's available to do so?
No.
Exactly.
They just haven't.
So, Phil Learness, would you like to give a random page number to Steve so he can select one of his own particular choices of poetry sequences and deliver it in his own fantastic performance poetry-esque style?
Let's go with 44.
Oh, I think, is there a 44 in it? Have we overtopped the whole thing?
We might have overshot the mark.
Can we go down a little bit, if that's okay? Because I know 44...
Four. We'll go with four.
Okay.
The pause as the audience begins to assemble for another classic Steve Court delivery as the throat is cleared and the mucus is gradually put into place.
This is just going to be the acknowledgements, right? Just the people he thanked.
Yeah. To my loving wife, Nikki. No, we won't do that. No. I'm going to do two as it overlaps two. So, the first one is called The Alcoholic's Prayer. You may recognise the tune that this was written to. Mm. Our lager, who art in the brewery, Stella be thy name. By 1:30 I shall be drunk in Lincoln, as I am in Devon. And give us this day our daily beverage, as we forgive those who spill against us. And lead us not into teetotalness, as thine is the Fosters, the Heineken, and the Bells, for ever and ever. Barmen.
And possibly blasphemous, but I won't go there at this particular time.
Yes,
you know,
indeed.
Yep. Okay.
Apologies. No, actually, no apologies. That's what I wrote.
Go on.
And the second one is called My Poetry, which is very apt for me to end on. My poetry is the perfect letter, larger than the envelope to send it to you. It smells of septic tanks in caravan parks on warm days, or orange blossom. To touch it feels like stroking a cat, backwards, and appreciates it just as much. It tastes like off milk or wine gums. It lurches at you with the unnerving speed of a seemingly immobile zombie on rollerblades. It growls at you like an angry father, someone else's angry father who never really liked you, or looks at you silently like your own disapproving father did. My poetry will slap you hard in the face, or at least threaten to, or possibly just write you a strongly worded letter. My poetry is the mystery wrapped in a puzzle, hidden in an enigma that hides its point from even me. When my poetry reads, it reads only about you. And when it speaks to you, it would speak a truth you wish you'd never heard.
I think that deserves a movie made about it, Phil. What do you think?
Oh, I think both of those would fit quite nicely in a movie. Mm-hmm. I mean, I both of them, in quite different scenes, of course.
Absolutely. A little reminder that next week, Ilana Raine, the Ilana Raine, is back with us. And she's got some very, very, very exciting news all about, I believe, Michael Winner. Is it Michael Winner? So anyway, there's some very important. Ken Russell. Easily confused. Well, both film directors.
What? Michael Winner? The director of
Death Wish? Ken Russell, director of Women in Love. Ken, I mean, Russell, surely, yeah. You could easily confuse. You could easily blur the edges in all sorts of ways there.
The greatest thing about Michael Winner and his filmography was that his name always allowed for the easiest reviews imaginable, which were often along the lines of another loser from Winner.
Yes.
I didn't make that up. I'll make up something on next week's show so you can tell the difference.
It's all Ken Russell. Okay, she's working on rewriting Ken Russell scripts, so that's been important. But I do, I mean, you've got to stay with me with on this one, Phil. You've got to appreciate that. In fact, I will suggest it to Ilana. Maybe she could actually do a sequel where she actually works on a Michael Winner script. That's a thought. Do they mean me? Calm down, dear. It's only a movie. These are kind of references that you probably get in a sort of Michael Winner-esque way. Or maybe not. Well, time continues to sort of scoot by, and we will be having, of course, the wonderful Siren Lifestyle coming up, I believe, at 7 p.m. So that's great news. But we've got just enough time, Steve, for you to actually select your note from the universe. Which number between 1 and 24 would you like to select before we actually sort of start wrapping up this show and move into a whole new dimensional experience?
I would like to choose number 17, please.
Number 17. Interesting. As in sort of only 17, the Janicean thing? She was 17 in this? Or just as in the case of, well, it's 17 because it's got a...
I was thinking 17 because it was like further on than 16, but not quite as far as 18.
It's that kind of profound philosophy that actually helps us as human beings, you know, exist in this particular part of the universe.
Once you make up your mind and start something, commit to it, say yes, and never look back. Do you have any doubt, any whatsoever, that I will not rush to your side, that legions won't be summoned, that players won't be drawn to your corner, connections made, circumstances crafted, dots connected, that the course of history won't be irrevocably changed? Good. I didn't think so. I'd say you're ready. The universe.
Yeah. That resonates, Steve. So, thanks to Cameron Tilbury, Anna Lewis, William Coles, Peter Franklin and Gwyneth Griffiths. Tomorrow morning, of course, Natalie Tuck will be launching at 8 a.m. We'll have Richard Fitzwilliams talking about the Golden Globe Awards. Some nice results there, but one shocking, outrageous omission, according to Richard. Ian Lennox will be back with us talking about cricket and a range of things. We've got some thoughts about the ongoing London Boat Show. And we've got William Sitwell returning. Plus, of course, Katie Taylor, who's the Managing Director of a new community arts centre called The Witham. And then, of course, next week it's more excitement with respect to Midweek Drive. Steve, have you enjoyed the programme today?
I've had a brilliant time today.
Do you know, I think this is the very first show just done where it's just been the two of us. Is that right? Yeah, because normally there are various other fans of quartets, I think, as they're referred to.
I like that. Yeah,
the quartets. but, you know, this is great. So I think I think we'll stick with those. I mean, Bill Coles obviously likes us to have have you ever been chased by a wild animal? Or indeed the alternative one, which was...
Have you ever tasted slightly off milk?
Ever tasted slightly off? I mean, you could throw that at Phil Leonis. He might be confused. I don't know. Or you can stick with the good old traditional values. It's up to you, Steve.
I think we should have a rattle down of all the questions.
Okay.
So, very quickly, Phil Leonis, have you ever been attacked by wild animals?
Attacked by wild animals? No. Oh, well, I mean, my cat, yes.
That'll
my
do.
Cat
that's is good.
Ill,
that's
my
good.
My cat attacked me. Absolutely.
Possibly having had a cat, this might have happened as well. Have you ever tasted slightly off milk?
No, I am incredibly lactose intolerant, so no, I don't taste milk one way or another.
Fantastic, but you make up for it with all the gluten, which is good.
Yeah.
And the all important questions: have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today?
It tasted like off milk.
No. that's damned with faint praise, isn't it?
So, but being lactose intolerant, does that mean you are prepared to still do it again?
Yeah, because actually on milk, I know would have made me sick. I'm not quite sure if off milk would. So let's take another chance. Let's take another swig. Absolutely.
If I'd used that line with Peter Davis or Paul McGann, they would have just looked at me and let's not get started on the Game of Thrones actress. But then again, that's a whole different issue and we'll be coming up at a different time. Steve, thank you. Phil Leonis, thank you. That's it. Happy trails. Can we all say bye-bye?
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. A worn-out recording.